Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This show doesn't stink. It's awesome.
I love this song.
It's going to be in Leavenworth Saturday night. It's a free show right on the river.
I have climbed the highest mountain. I have sailed across the sea. I have wrestled with my demons and woke up with only me. I have been around the block three times, maybe four.
Mama Bear's coming home. Melissa Etheridge in Leavenworth this Saturday night. She's playing in, right downtown, right next to the river, community center.
When Melissa Etheridge called in to talk to you for your birthday and you had no words, I was listening.
Oh, I did, but it was more like, what's
happening? Yes. And I was like, I'm so glad that came to fruition because I put the wheels in motion on that and Sam took the reins and we made
it. That was a good gift.
We made it happen.
So that was a good gift. I thank you.
Okay, fun fact. I have Melissa Etheridge's cell phone in my cell phone. Don't ask me how I have that.
But you did an interview with her.
I know. And she called me from her cell phone, which is random. But yeah, so if you want to ever talk to Mel, you just let me know. We'll call
her. Okay. All right. Cut it out.
Call her back.
You and Mel are tight.
Me and Melly Mel. Yeah.
Somebody says on the text line, discuss the new upcoming season of Tiger King. We did. I believe it was the 4 o'clock hour for opening. May have been the 3 o'clock. I don't recall. But yes, they're coming out with a Tiger King 2, and my first thought when I read the headline was, this is a show best left to 7 episodes. I don't know how you advance the story. It was fun once.
I need to know more about Carol Baskin. Hey, all you cats and kittens.
And it was amazing how much time, Sam, we exhausted before the show in the newsroom talking about why Tiger King 2 is a bad idea. And Rob from 610 Sports had a good point.
Yeah.
Tiger King 1, the first season, only made it because of the time that it came out. We were all stuck at home. We were looking for something new. Nothing was coming out. And here comes this train wreck that was Tiger King. And it was cool for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it would have been slightly popular, but yeah, it blew up because nobody had anything else to do.
Yeah, it was like Thick Laces back in 1985. They were cool for about a week.
I'm sorry, I was alive in 1985, and I don't know of what you speak. What laces?
Thick Laces.
The nice big fat the big shoelaces fat, and skater I don't know shoes.
What, they were popular, and I people are going to get mad at me for saying this. When I lived in Germany in 85, they were really popular for about one school year. And over there, we called them Thicks.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's actually the brand name, Thick Laces. I didn't know that.
Okay. We called them Thicks.
Did you ever own a pair of parachute pants, young man?
No, I never did.
Okay. I never did either, but probably because I lived in Iowa.
I wore these.
Can't live in Iowa with parachute pants?
Apparently not. I mean, I knew how to pop and lock, but I never got my parachute pants.
I don't even know what that means.
Popping and locking. It's a breakdancing term.
Popping and locking?
Yeah.
Can you still pop and lock?
Well, it's more like break a hip, but yeah, it's the same, but different.
Break a bone dancing.
Break it down, break a hip.
Dude, are Thick Laces still around? Do they still sell them?
The company still exists.
Who buys them?
It doesn't say that on their website.
You may remember Thick Laces, like at the beginning of the Walk This Way video, Run DMC. I think they're wearing Thick Laces in that video.
All right.
Oh, no. They don't even make laces. It's just a never mind. Gosh, dang it.
Okay. Story here from Fox 4. Dateline is Kansas City, Missouri. It's in the Northland. The last couple of years have been stressful. I would love to hear from people who live near this house. The last couple of years have been stressful for neighbors living in a typically peaceful slice of Kansas City's Northland known as Little Village. Says Kerry Redding, the president of the Neighborhood Association, it is incredibly frustrating. She's talking about a neighbor who has trash piled on every side of his house.
Gross.
Some of it has been sitting there for so long, you can smell it across the street. Says Redding, Kerry Redding, we've repeatedly reported it to Coates, to 311, to the city, to the council. At this point, we are going 2 years, 2 years with no movement whatsoever. And there's a, if you go onto the Fox 4 website, they do have a picture, I think there might even be video, of this house. And there are trash bags lining the side of this house. Redding moved to the neighborhood 15 years ago because of its quiet streets and well-tended homes reminded her of the small town in western Kansas where she grew up. She never expected to be battling a mountain, literally a mountain of trash. But what she and others in Little Village are fighting is similar to battles all across Kansas City waged by good neighbors trying to get bad neighbors to take care of their property.
Well, just a thought, but if she has garbage piled all the way around her house, think what the inside of her house is like.
Well, we don't know that the homeowner is a woman or a man.
Oh.
But Kerry Redding is the Neighborhood Association president, and she's had enough. Ah, here it is. It's a man.
Oh.
The neighbor causing all the controversy is Craig Harris. Harris does not own the house, and they give the address, I won't. It's still in the name of his parents, who are both deceased. Fox 4 tried calling and emailing Harris to get his side of the story, but they never heard back.
So he owns the house, but does he may not live there. It might be renters who are...
No. Harris doesn't own the house. It's still in his parents' name, who are both deceased.
Oh, but he's living there.
That's the way I read
allegedly.
The story.
Allegedly, okay.
That's the way I read the
all
story.
All right.
Because it says the neighbor causing all the controversy is Craig Harris.
Ugh.
Kansas City officials have not ignored the problem. Harris has been cited 6 times this year alone, but he never shows up for court.
Well, a lot of good that does.
Police, though, can't arrest him for failure to appear because code violations are not considered criminal, which leads to more neighborhood fr- So basically, a code violation is a fine that they can't enforce because they can't arrest you. There's no punishment for not showing up in court.
And they can fine you all day long, and you can refuse to pay.
Neighbor Roger New has also complained to the city. He's lived in Little Village for 55 years. The breaking point, he said, came when the man living inside the trash-filled home pitched a tent in the middle of the neighborhood green space, which is usually reserved for ice cream socials. He told people he had decided to live outside because there were too many insects inside. Somebody in the text line says, can we say hoarder? Probably yes. I would assume we can.
And
what is he hoarding, trash?
Well, that's what hoarders
do. That's what hoarders do.
Well, no, they hoard things that at one point wasn't trash, but now it's all trash.
But if you've ever seen that show Hoarders, they do hoard trash. Like, they won't take the trash out.
I love that show.
We all know it's a mental problem, but I would love to hear from Kerry Redding. If anybody knows her, let her know that we're talking about this story on the show.
Too many. I have to stay outside in a tent because there are too many insects inside my house. Now, you would think the...
You know, there's an easy way to solve that problem. Clean up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or just nuke it.
Maybe get a little cockroach fogger or something.
Like, that's going to...
Nuke it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with a cockroach fire.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Kill it with fire.
576-7798. If you live in this neighborhood of Little Village in the Northland.
Yeah, and can speak to this particular neighbor.
We would love to hear from you. Maybe you don't live in Little Village, but you've got this neighbor in your neighborhood. 576-7798.
Yeah, like, why isn't the city just cleaning it up and billing him? Anyway,
that's what somebody on the text line says.
Food for thought.
576-7798. We'll get to your calls and your comments in just a moment. Michael Mackey in today for Dana Wright.
Shalom.
She returns tomorrow. Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott here on KMBZ.
God, I love that man.
So there's a neighborhood in the Northland known as Little Village, and they've got the neighbor from hell. The house in this neighborhood, Little Village, is so bad. There is trash, just mounds of trash, some of it in bags, piled up all around the house.
And they can smell it down the street.
Yes.
Blech.
And the home, the guy who lives there, the house is not in his name. It's in his now deceased parents' name. But his name is Craig Harris. And later on in this Fox 4 story, the neighbor said at one point, Mr. Harris pitched a tent in the commons space.
Typically reserved for ice cream socials.
Yes. And the reason he put a tent up in the commons green space in the neighborhood to sleep is because the insects inside the home were starting to bother him. And there would be less insects outside than inside.
That is problematic.
That is commitment to the trash. 576-7798. Would love to hear from those of you who live in this neighborhood. If you can paint a word picture for us of what it's like. And then tell us, what does it smell like? How far away can you smell it, the house? And where is the city in the sense that they have cited him 6 times in 2021 already?
All right, and let's talk about just the sheer amount of trash that has grown exponentially over a 2-year period. 2 years! Now, the neighbors started complaining 2 years ago, so it's only gotten worse from there. So now it's got to be cataclysmic.
576-7798. Let's go to Austin in Overland Park.
Austin. Hi, Austin.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, my friend.
I'm assuming this is probably a much bigger problem or much more common problem than people really know about. I'm actually getting ready to close on a house out in the county just outside of Raymore. And the guy's grass next door, which I didn't think much of it, you know, but his grass is tall enough that there's a full-size soccer goal that's hidden by the grass. So I know you play soccer. You can imagine how tall that grass is. And I'm just thinking, after hearing this story, you know, before moving in, I'm thinking, man, surely there's something I can do to get this guy. But it sounds like there's not a lot that the cities can get people to do as far as managing their property. So I just thought it was interesting that I really just don't think that people know that this is a big issue.
By the way, the distance from the crossbar to the ground is 8 feet.
It's tall.
Wow. All right, man. Hey, do appreciate it.
And has anyone, and for the record, has anyone seen this guy? Like, is he completely MIA?
Well, why don't we go to Susan, who lives 2 doors down?
Susan, 2 doors down.
Yes.
Hi.
Talk to me, Susan. I want to know everything. Go.
We've been messing with this about 1.5, 2 years, and, you know, messing with the city, you know, the 311, and they had written him like 5 or 6 violations, and because of COVID, they couldn't go in. And finally, I emailed Linda Wager's Channel 9 and, I'm sorry, Channel 4, Channel 4, mm-hmm. And she came out, she interviewed me, the president of the Homes Association, and another neighbor.
Now, somebody on the text line, Susan, just said the trash has been removed. The city was working on this before the news story. Is that true? You live two doors down. The trash has been removed.
Yes, it's all cleaned up. It's been cleaned up since the end of August.
Okay. Now, is trash? I don't know if this guy is a hoarder or not, and I don't want to say that he is or is not. Has trash, since it's been cleaned up for 23 days, give or take, trash started to reaccumulate outside the home or not?
No, ma'am. No, sir. Oh. It has not. No, he's not. As far as we know, he is not in the house. He's not supposed to be in the house.
Okay.
But, well, he is supposed to be in the house because he's in trouble. He's out on
okay, we're not going to get into that because I don't have a way to prove that or disprove it.
Okay.
But is it true in this story about the tent that he put up in the commons area of your neighborhood?
Yes.
And how did that go over?
It didn't go over well. It got put back in his yard.
Now, his parents used to own the home. Is that correct?
Yes, they're both deceased now.
And when they owned the home, was it a problem?
No.
And then they passed, and then he got the house, presumably.
Right. No. Uh-oh. It wasn't. He's not on the deed or anything.
I understand, but is that when he moved in, or was he already living there?
He was already living there.
Okay. His parents die. He's still living in the house. And you're saying that's when the problem started?
Yes, it started. It started probably over a year ago.
Oh, darn.
And I can't go into other things about his problems.
That's fine. Anyway. And please don't. I appreciate that. Well, Susan, I'm glad they got it cleaned up for you. For now.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's been horrible. You know, I just.
What did
hope.
It? Keep it clean if you could. What did it smell like?
Well, I was standing in the park across the street from the house while the city was over there, and it unfortunately smelled like human feces that they were. Because he had no water. He had no utilities.
No! Susan!
I know.
Is the house, and be quick if you could because we got to get to the bottom of the hour news, can the house be fixed?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, yeah, and the mortgage company will have to come in and maybe get it.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, Susan, I'm glad your neighborhood is slowly getting back to normal.
Yeah, it gives you peace of mind when you look down there and you don't see him or any remnants of him.
Okay. All right, Susan, be good.
Go on with your bad self, Susan.
Michael Mackey in for Dana Wright. Quick break for the news. We will see you on the other side of that.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's breaking news, but it's not shocking news.
No, you could have seen this coming.
An arrest warrant has been issued for Brian Laundrie, the 23-year-old fiance of Gabby Petito. According to the FBI office in Denver, Laundrie is a person of interest in the death of Gabby Petito, whose case was recently ruled a homicide. I think it was yesterday, in fact. And law enforcement has not been able to locate him. He's been missing since, I believe, last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday.
I'll guarantee you they're going to go after the parents because a next-door neighbor came out today and said that they saw the parents and Brian leaving the property on September 11th, which is the same day I think she was reported missing. And
that's
the
correct.
Parents said, we haven't seen Brian since, I mean, I don't remember what date they gave, but it did not. The timelines did not add up. So
yeah, there's some fishy going on with mom and dad.
Very fishy,
and I'm wondering how much of this. First of all, where are they? Okay, we've seen neither hide nor hair of them. They can't be just holed up in that house.
Not for multiple days on end.
Like. I mean, Brian Laundry has been back home in Northport or whatever the town is called in Florida since September 1st.
Right.
Well, he came back on September 1st. I shouldn't say he's home because if he was home, he'd be arrested. So he came home sans Gabby Petito on September 1st.
And immediately the parents were, I mean, her parents were like,
where's Gabby?
Where's Gabby?
To which he said he was staying in a tent while she had gone into town to do some vlogging.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he came back without her. Well, we now know it's because she was dead and she was killed. She was murdered. The single count indictment, by the way, from the U.S. District Court in Wyoming, alleges that from August 30th to September 1st, so a period of 2 days, Laundry knowingly and with intent to defraud used one or more unauthorized access devices, namely a Capital One Bank debit card and a personal ID for Capital One Bank accounts.
Of hers? Wait, what?
Yes.
Oh, of hers. Okay.
Through that illegal conduct, the indictment alleges Laundry obtained things of value aggregating to $1,000 or more. The warrant allows law enforcement...
If that doesn't add insult to injury.
The warrant allows law enforcement to arrest Mr. Laundry. Duh.
Duh.
Let's see what else. Investigators are currently searching for Laundry in Florida's Carlton Reserve, where police are using airboats, drones, ATVs... to find him.
I don't think he's there.
Where do you think he is?
I think so. I think he parked there. Somebody came and picked him up and he is long gone.
You think he's alive?
Oh yeah. I don't think he's anywhere in that nature reserve because somebody would have seen him or they would have picked up something or infrared. I think he parked it there to throw him off and then he's out of there. And now he's on the lam and probably laying low and not like he's probably in like, and I'm totally speculating, but he's probably in not even close to Florida.
Order, Cuba?
Sheboygan.
What?
What? I was just picking the most, you picked Cuba. I tried to pick the most random place. Poughkeepsie? Butte?
So we'll keep you updated on that, but an arrest warrant has been issued for Brian Laundry. It's for misuse of a credit card, essentially not for murder, although that is likely to follow if and when he is captured.
He was not anywhere near where his parents said he was, full stop. That much we can be assured of.
What, you know, I've always wondered about obviously the parents' behavior in this case, but how parents... who find themselves in that incredibly awful situation where your kid is either suspected or we know that your kid did something wrong. And Dana and I have had this conversation a long time on this show, many times. If it was murder that my kid was suspected or I knew committed, I would get them a lawyer.
Lawyer
and
up.
I would turn their ass in.
Absolutely. Because these parents are going to be...
And it would be the hardest thing I ever did.
Agreed, but they're going to be on the ringer. I mean, they are... Just wait till this case shakes out. Those parents will inevitably end up going to jail. One, if not both of them. Because of what...
They have to know where he is.
They have to know. Well, and they have to know... they have to know what happened.
Let me rephrase that. If he is alive, they have to know where he is.
Hmm...
If he killed himself, I could see a scenario where they don't know that he just got in the car, drove off, took maybe he had a gun with him. I don't know, but if he is alive, I have no doubt they know where he is, or they knew where he was when he disappeared.
This case has riveted the entire nation. Like it's been a long time since the nation has become galvanized over. A story, and this one is it.
This is one I have not heard from 0838. I don't think he killed her.
I bet they just broke up.
And he came home. I think someone else killed her. Boy.
Why do you think that, 0838? I mean, that's a I've never heard that theory, but okay, you're welcome to your opinion.
Left her wandering the highways, that ideology is not too far off from reality.
I'm with Michael on this one. I bet the parents said he was in that reserve, and they parked the car there, and then someone else took him to either drive to Mexico or boat over to Cuba.
Bam.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with my he boated to Cuba.
He is not that smart. That he's going to screw up because he's going to need funds or money, and everyone knows what he looks like.
He looks like every other 23-year-old dude.
I know, but he has that I will give you. But I mean, like, he's not a mastermind criminal. So he's going to screw up somewhere along the way, and then they'll catch him.
I wonder, you know, because his parents went and retrieved the car from the nature reserve or whatever, national reserve, wherever the hell that it was parked. Now, I'm starting to wonder if, you know, there's a lot more to this than just Brian Laundrie got in his car and drove to this 25,000-acre reserve. All by his lonesome. And I hate to get all conspiracy theory on this.
Well, I mean, we also have to keep in mind the fact that the parents lied about when he left.
True.
The text line is just going bonkers with a theory that he's killed himself in that nature reserve. Fair.
To which Sam and I were talking about that earlier, and nobody's found him yet.
Yeah, if he's not running, I feel like they would have found him by now, unless he was...
Well, in a nature reserve in Florida, you'd get eaten alive, eaten dead. I mean...
And in Grand Teton, which I would imagine is bigger.
Yeah.
They found Gabby.
True. Who found her? Not like hikers or anything, just the FBI was combing.
I think authorities found her. Right. They went looking for her and they found her.
All right.
But you're telling me, and 25,000 acres, don't get me wrong, it's big. I get it.
Well, and they had dogs with them, too. And so if his remains or anything of his were anywhere close to where they were searching, one of those dogs would have caught the scent.
But then they're searching underwater. Like, what that theory only works if he tied a big cinder block to his foot.
Right.
And then offed himself in a canoe.
But at some point, the body has to surface if the gators don't get him first. The whole thing is just weird. It's just weird.
And of course, it kickstarts this conversation in America. Why do we only focus on missing white girls? Okay. We'll have that some other time. I'm looking up how big is Grand Teton.
Fair point on the text line. He showed up without his girlfriend. He's clearly a coward. Typically, cowards don't do that.
576-7798. If you want to weigh in, an arrest warrant has just been issued out of the FBI office in Denver. The charge comes out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Wyoming. Brian Laundrie is charged with misuse of a credit card. Presumably that credit card belonged to Gabby Petito. He is not yet charged with murder. He is also not yet located.
And that arrest warrant is what, out in the last, what, half hour? I mean, it's...
Less than that. It literally just
breaking
happened.
News.
576-7798. Michael Mackey in for Dana Wright. Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Boys seem to like the girls who laugh at anything. The ones who get undressed before the second day. Girls seem to like the boys.
I'm starting to think Facebook might be Satan.
Satan?
If you missed the news last week, I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal, Facebook executives were well aware of concerns that Instagram, you know, all the teenage girls at Instagram, you remember the controversy from last week. Obviously, Facebook owns Instagram. And now the New York Times is reporting that Facebook has developed a way to lessen the chance that you will hear criticism of them or Instagram in the future on your newsfeed.
Censor much?
The company now plans to show Facebook users more positive articles about itself in newsfeeds using what is known as Project Amplify.
Project Propaganda.
According to the New York Times, if certain favorable stories are given priority, That, by definition, leaves less space for more objective reporting to be shared in news feeds, since users can only read a finite number of stories each time they log on. The plan, which has gone as high as Mark Zuckerberg for approval, is downright alarming and underscores the importance of seeking out news outside of social platforms, which a lot of people do not. Facebook plans to show users more articles that make it look good, including some articles written by its own employees.
Oh, well, of course.
The company told the Times it had not changed its approach, liars, but a spokesman also seemed to suggest it was making a change, telling the Times, and I quote, "People deserve to know the steps we're taking to address the different issues facing our company. We're going to share those steps widely." According to a just-released Pew survey, 48% of adults sometimes or often get their news off of social media, primarily Facebook.
That would be me.
You get most of your news off Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I go to the New York Times first thing in the morning. And then as I'm scrolling, if it crosses my news feed and it has an interest to me, I'll click on it.
But you go to the New York Times first?
Oh, yeah.
And then you go to Facebook?
Correct.
Okay. So
for more the more salacious, I mean, Facebook literally knows exactly what I want to see. And I mean, it's eerie.
Yeah. The algorithm is weird.
Yeah. Although, it's perfect.
Although I will say this, Sam, I mentioned this to you several weeks ago on the air. There has been a seismic change in my newsfeed that I've noticed where I am limited. And I don't think Facebook is doing it like as a punishment, but through an algorithm of some capacity. It is the same, primarily the same 20 to 30 people. And I have, because of what I do for a living, I have 5,000 Facebook friends, which is the max. I have 5,000. And yet my newsfeed is primarily 20 to 30 people. The same 20 to 30 people.
That's because you typically either comment or like stuff.
Or you even just stop scrolling to look at it for
correct.
A split second, it can track that, and if that goes into the algorithm.
It'll know that I've stopped scrolling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, you always pop up on my newsfeed because I always like your stuff.
So do you. And pop up on mine.
And the same goes for Sam and Dana. And I mean, like, I see the same 20 to 30 people, but I'll tell you this much. If I want to go and if I want somebody else on my algorithm, I just go and start liking their stuff or commenting on it, and then Facebook kicks it into high gear, and then they magically appear on my timeline.
Yeah, if you want puppy memes, like a bunch of puppy memes, and you'll get more puppy memes.
All puppy all the time.
That's right.
See, I need to be more cognizant of this, because I'll click like on snarky little memes that I think are kind of witty.
Well, and here's what's interesting to me about it, is Facebook's algorithm actually backwards? Because people typically stop and look at the things that make them angry more often than the things that make them happy.
Yes!
So you're actually just filtering in more things that will make you mad, because you stopped to look at it. You didn't like it, but you looked at it longer than you did the puppy meme. Because you were just like, oh, that's funny,
also,
and then move on to the thing that made you mad.
Fun fact from my time in my marketing class, Facebook, if you comment on somebody's page and you say, this is awesome, Facebook just disregards it. It has to be four words or four emojis for it to really count. So instead of the next time you comment on somebody's thing, just go love or whatever, it just sort of reads it as a bot or nothing. So if you really want to comment on somebody's page, it needs to be four words. This is really awesome, four emojis.
So then I need to start going into, like, the people that I'm close with.
That are MIA on your newsfeed.
Right, go onto their page and just start liking stuff on their page.
Or commenting will get you there faster, but
or
yeah.
Even going to their page.
Yeah, just going to their
oh,
page.
Really?
Yeah, just
oh,
visit
yeah.
the page, and that will get them back into your algorithm slowly.
Isn't that backwards, though, that if you stop on something you don't like, you're more likely to see things on your feed that you don't like.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That so you go to
backwards.
Facebook to get pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Maggie, always good to see you. I love you, brother.
I love you. I love you, Sam Stevie. Thanks for having me in. It's been fun these last couple days.
Dana Wright returns tomorrow. Sam Stevie III is the finest man in all of America, and he's also our producer. Michael Maggie is my good friend and co-host today. I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.